Welcome to Skills Journey, hosted by Emil Rovenheimer and Yanni Brofenboer from PopUp, the People Upliftment Program. This is your passport to a transformative journey where we uncover the power of skills together. Welcome back to Skills Journey. For me, Emil and myself, it's such a privilege on Masterclass, which is our Season 2 Skills Journey theme. We have Anton Swanepoel with us. We've had two previous conversations, so make sure that if you've missed them, that you go to our podcast to follow up and just not fall into the conversation at the end. But thank you, Anton, for being here. We love the conversations and your authenticity. So the question that we're starting today is challenges, and challenges that you faced along this skills journey of yours, and the lessons that you've learned, and the impact that that has had on your life.
You just ask loaded questions.
But that's why you're here. You're so good at answering them.
So many choices, so many good choices, bad choices. My life is almost like Charles Dickens, the best of times and the worst of times. But at the end, I doubt whether you can honestly testify about God's goodness if you haven't experienced challenges and very, very dark times, because it puts the good times into perspective. As I said, I had many trials and tribulations, but we shouldn't be surprised when that happens, because in John, Jesus said, in this world you'll have many trials, but take heart, I've overcome this world. So we sometimes lose sight of the fact that nothing surprises God. And often it's in the bad times that we truly draw near to God. I wonder sometimes if God didn't specifically design bad times to call his people onto him. Because when things went really bad, I've had financial struggles, I have had, taking this path, I made a decision to follow God's voice and what I thought he gave me and give it everything that I got. Unfortunately, much of that time, I had to look for provision and financing, etc. And I did not always receive the financial means that I thought I was necessary. So it was an amazing struggle. And funny enough, over the last two decades, I have seen many people go through financial crises. And I think by God's grace, he took me through those times for me to have compassion with people. Let's face it, if 1% of the world owns 90% of the wealth, there are more people with financial struggles than there are that don't have financial struggles. So I think, to be really honest, if God didn't take me through financial difficulty, I would have been one of the people with an extreme case of arrogance. And somehow I think God loved me too much to allow me to become arrogant. So it was a humbling experience. And the biggest lesson I learned there was, maybe it is so I can be authentic when people go through financial troubles, and I pray for them. Nobody likes a fake. And to me, looking back, although it was hard, it was definitely worth it, because I think God grew my character in being less condemning, less arrogant, but have an extreme compassion for people who are going through the same journey. as I've gone. So perhaps that makes me a authentic, compassionate person, and not with arrogance look at people who are facing financial struggles, because that would have been terrible if you look at people who are battling and you think you're so much better than them.
I think what I'm hearing is just being in a profession where God has called you. He's given you such a footprint, and to be able to do that with such a humility in loving people, and you respect people. That's what you were saying in our previous conversation. So for us to be able to come to someone when you're already in such a dire need, and to experience someone who's loving me and praying for me, and then trusting God with me because you've been through it, yes, it gives you so much more authority.
By God's design. I got to say, I didn't wake up this morning with this genius feeling that I'm now humble and I'm compassionate. It was through a real experience to know that two footprints on the beach, and that one footprint was God had to carry me for many years to be where I am today, and having the revelation of how that's one of the decisions you need to make. Is when you receive a revelation, are you going to be true to that revelation? Mm. And is there a risk that someone might become arrogant again? I think the risk is always there.
Sure.
And that's why one needs to stay close to God and with people who also are close to God.
It's interesting for me, Anton, because as you're talking, Yoni, I'm actually reminded about that discussion we had in season one about meta skills, right? So meta skills are things that we consider like foundational skills that actually define your capacity to engage in a skills journey. And so some of those would be self-leadership, which is a lot of what I'm hearing, the ability to lead yourself, to say, can I reflect? Can I get feedback? Can I understand that I'm actually not as humble as I thought, or I'm actually not as trustworthy as I thought, or I'm not as approachable as I thought? But also, can I solve problems? Can I engage with complexity? Because what I really appreciate about what you're saying, Anton, is I think a lot of people have this idea that masters or, you know, giants of industry or highly successful people just had it easy.
Yes.
And they didn't have the struggles. They had all the money available. But the opposite is almost true, where it's always in constraint that creativity finds expression. I mean, even by your own admission, you always kind of were in situations where you thought, even when you got money, you thought you got less than you needed. I think that resonates with a lot of people, maybe not even just with money, but probably with a lot of stuff, right? Resources or time or whatever the case might be. But there's something about the ability to problem solve, to create, to innovate with what you have, that you've clearly learned. Don't you want to just give us some insight into that? Where does that come from? How do you approach that? Because I think that's a meta skill that is so critical for us to respond to opportunities, even when we feel like, geez, there's a lot of constraint in the process.
Emil, I think the one meta skill that I've learned was after I read Stephen M. R. Covey, the son of the famous Stephen Covey, The Speed of Trust. Now, you talked about you're not maybe as trustworthy. Now, that book that I read in 2007 changed everything in my life, because if you think about relationships, will you open up to anyone you don't trust? In financial advice, will you give your money to someone you don't trust? So I want to impart to the listeners something I think they will find very valuable, because there are sometimes the one thing that can change a relationship, your business, your success as a financial advisor. I've asked many, many advisors, guys, will you give your money to someone you don't trust? And they say, absolutely not. Are you nuts? So that logical question, will you marry someone you don't trust? Surely not. So in your personal life, your business life, and the relationships you have with friends, there's one thing that changes everything, to use Stephen Covey's, the phrase he coined. Trust is the one thing that changes everything. After I've read his book, I realized that was a critical missing component, both in my personal life, to understand trust is a short word, but there are a number of components that you need to understand. Firstly, in your professional life, without competence, you can never create a trusted relationship. So after reading multiple books, after Stephen Covey's book, I published 5 books on trust. Sure. Because I became fascinated that there are 7 trust-building components and 1 trust-breaking component. That's why I call it the 7 C's of trust. So the first C is competence. The second C is, how do you communicate that competence? Because as I said, you could either repel people or attract people. The third is your connection with people. So you can communicate, you can transfer knowledge. But the moment you've got a connection, now the connection between the three of us is that we are co-believers. There's a strong connection. And that brings us closer together. So competence, the way you communicate it, and then at a financial advisor level, there needs to be a common denominator that actually takes that communication and you connect. You've got a deeper relationship that strengthens the trusted relationship. The fourth component is commitment. So a financial advisor needs to be committed to his client and work diligently. And the fifth C is character. So if you are a person with honesty and integrity, that those 5 are the cornerstones of any trusted relationship in business. The sixth C is to be consistent in demonstrating those 5 components. And after that comes confidence. Not arrogance, confidence. So those are, I have found, after all the books that I've read, the 7 C's of trust apply to your business life, your personal life. Think about if you're in a relationship. Are you a good husband? That speaks to competence. Are you a good wife? That speaks to competence. How do I, as a husband, communicate to my wife? Is it barking orders, or is it with humility and care? And to my kids. Then the connection we have. The strongest connection my wife and I have is that we are co-believers. We can pray together, and we have got the children. Now, you don't come between the children. So then in terms of my commitment to my wife, or her commitment to me, and then do we do what we say we're going to do? And being consistent in those, because it doesn't help me being a great communicator, respecting the connection that we have, and I'm inconsistent. And no wife wants to be married to a person, a man who's not confident, because a woman by design would prefer a husband that can lead with confidence, not arrogance. And then we get to the destroyer of all trusted relationships, and it's self-interest. So those 7 C's of trust have really established the foundation for what I aim to still become. That drives me, sure. Knowing the moment I break trust with my colleagues in the industry or with my family, then I'm afraid my life would be meaningless.
Sure, Anton, that's so insightful. And I want to kind of just pick your brain on this issue, because I think defining trust in that way actually means trust is a consequence of, right?
Yes.
Trust is not the thing in itself. Trust is the result of a couple of things.
Absolutely.
And those six ingredients that you've, or the seven ingredients that you've mentioned, might to some extent only be possible after you first addressed the primary destroyer, right? And I want to bring you back to a discussion you had in one of our earlier discussions where you mentioned kind of your initial approach until you had this moment when you were 37 and you discovered, geez, there was something else. Because you almost mentioned there were five key things that defined your approach to life, right? You mentioned that you wanted a good house, you wanted a great wife, you wanted kids, you wanted enough money, and you wanted a nice job, right?
Yes.
And if I kind of use your own criteria, I would say, but all of those are kind of self-interest.
Absolutely.
So how? I mean, you've had to go through this transformation to say initially your entire life was defined by
self-interest. No doubt.
And what happened? How did that change? Because that almost kind of created this platform for you to discover the power of trust.
Yeah.
Help us understand that.
I think the pivotal moment was when I realized that I am in God's story. God is not in my story.
Sure.
That's a profound revelation, is when you know that by your own genius, you will ultimately destroy your life.
Sure.
Because it's just about you. So when I had to, in a dark place in my life, I had to go to church one night and I had to say, God, I am like the prodigal son. I sinned against you. I sinned against the people around me. And I'm asking you to forgive me and to come into my life. I think when you have a deep revelation like that, that is the trigger that God was waiting for all my life. And since that day in February 1990, since that day, God started a testimony in my life. So I thank God today that He didn't allow me to continue down my own road of destruction. Because that is what happens. You might earn a lot of money and you may be very successful. The word says God is merciful and kind over all that He's made. So you don't have to be a Christian to make a lot of money. But God prevented me from destroying my own life by following my own ways. And I think from February 1990, the testimony that I was always jealous of is bearing fruit today.
Yes.
I didn't ask for this interview. You asked me for this interview. But I can see God's hand in decades of preparing us for this interview. So good. All glory to God. I don't say that as to be Christianese, I'm saying and declaring all glory to God.
Sure. Anton, thank you so much. We want to ask you if you have advice for three different groups of people. Maybe someone who's that 18-year-old Anton who doesn't really care or has these very self-centered desires. What would you say to that person? Or to the maybe 37-year-old or that young dad whose mom also just on the brink of that, where am I supposed to go? And then also maybe the person who might be your age sitting there thinking, where am I going now? I have the big car and what am I supposed to do with that? So maybe you can just help us and let the listeners into what's your thoughts.
Well, I say there's one common one for all three. And that is you need to get a revelation of who God is. And that you are in His story. He does have a plan for you, whether you're 18 years old, 37 or 60.
Amen.
He does have a plan for you. For the 18-year-old, I would say, honor your parents. That's the know who I am. And then as a fruit of that knowledge, honor your parents because there's a promise so that it may go well with you. The 37-year-old, I would say, if you have a midlife crisis and you're not happy where you are, your only place you need to go is on your knees and ask God to give you a revelation. Don't be surprised if it takes 9 months. Just be persistent because He will reveal His plan for you. When you are 60 years old, and this was my testimony at the breakfast that I held for our home group and our elders at our church, where I said, I have many regrets. Honestly, I have made terrible mistakes in my lifetime. But in recent weeks, God has reminded me to the scripture in Isaiah 43, verse 18, where God clearly spoke to me and said, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing something new. And this is my testimony today, that regardless of your age, you need to find God and seek Him, because the promise is He will be found by you, regardless of age. 37-year-old, ask God for His direction again. And in the 60 years old, if you've got as many regrets as I have, remember this. I had to look in the rearview mirror when I reflected in the last weeks. And all I saw were potholes that I drove through. And most of those potholes were self-inflicted because of bad habits and bad decisions and not staying as close to God every morning as I should have.
Sure.
But the front mirror is much bigger than the rearview mirror. And what I see now, I believe that God is doing a new thing in my life, and I can already see the fruit. So I walk into the future with absolute confidence that God has got a future for me even at 60. So whoever is listening, just know that God is who He says He is. He's a gracious God, merciful, kind, slow to anger, and abounding in love. That is who God is.
That's amazing. Anton, maybe just a last point, because so much of what you've spoken is about trust, and I think you've just touched on some of it. Clearly, you trust Him. And I think a lot of people that respond to the suggestions you're making might be sitting with this question, can I trust God? Is He to be trusted? Does He meet those criteria that that you're suggesting is required for us to trust Him? And what would your response be to that?
Easy. Think about the most competent person you know. And then you think about Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Just the first one. God just overshadows the most competent person that you may know, or even if Einstein comes to mind.
Yeah.
Think by how far God exceeds. Second one, communication. Genesis 1 verse 3, God said, let there be light. Now think about the most creative and the most beautiful, wonderful orator, a person that communicates stunningly. Now think about that power compared to God's power. God spoke and there was heaven and earth, sure, and there was light. The connection that God is making, God promises us He will be our God and we will be His people. He's calling us by name. So the moment you see God and he said, you will be found by me. Think about that as a connection with the Creator.
He sends his son to come find us.
Exactly. Mm. Then, as far as commitment is concerned, God relentlessly pursues his people.
Stands at the door and knocks, right?
Absolutely. Oh. All the time. He is there. It is us who move away from God. Mm. God stayed committed to me when I wanted to give up. He relentlessly put people in my place. Then God's character, which I referred to earlier, loving, kind, merciful, gracious. You can just, it's endless. God's character, who can compare to God's character? And Isaiah says, to who can you compare me? Those five. His consistency, the word says, yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Always the same.
Always the same.
Yeah.
And then God's confidence. I mean, really? If he says, to who can you compare me? There is no one that we can. So on the same basis that we trust people and they trust us, God just multiplies the formula. Mm. You might give a person 9 out of 10 for competence, but God, 10 to infinity.
On a logarithmic scale, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So can you trust God?
Mm.
Absolutely. By so much more. And it seems like we trust people more than we sometimes trust God.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Anton, for sharing that. And thank you for joining us. It's been an absolute privilege. And we are super excited with the next guest in the following episode. So stay tuned as we continue to spend time with masters and learn from Masterclass.